Hello everyone, welcome back to another episode of the tentatively titled Keep Calm and Read On Vodcast, where I, Danielle, sit down and talk about books and the like to you while playing video games or doing some sort of activity, whether it be videotaping the scenery while I'm in the car. I don't know what it's gonna be, but it's gonna be interesting, I hope. So today, on another Harry Potter note, I want to talk about Harry Potter Academia. And the reason I want to talk about this is because I feel that studying the Harry Potter books is very important. When I was in college, I loved Harry Potter so much. I still do, but not to the same extent. And I was very interested in studying it, but the college I attended did not have classes about it, and to be fair, most colleges don't. But there are the select few that you can find just by Googling or searching on the web or going to MuggleNet.com. Some colleges that actually offer Harry Potter courses. One big one is Chestnut Hill College. They recently just had their Harry Potter weekend, where they have all these talks about Harry Potter from scholars, and then they literally have a full-on festival in the town. I've actually been there before. It's really exciting. They serve butterbeer, people dress up, there's a bunch of activities to do, Quidditch is going on. It's just a really cool experience. And so I think that some people who maybe are new to Harry Potter or just maybe are new to academia might want to study Harry Potter but not know where to start. And so with this episode, I want to talk about all of the resources that I've used to further my academic study of the Potter books. Now, real quick, as I said in the other episode, then I want to make a statement again. This is my opinion, though this episode is more objective than opinionated because I'm just telling you resources, but I'm going to be telling you my thoughts on each resource and you can take from it what you will. I think all of it is worthy of your time, or at least to check out. So, because Harry Potter is a fairly new book series, considering, and I think it is worthy of our study. I think there's a lot we can take from it, and a lot of study that can be done on the series, just as people have studied Catcher in the Rye or Jane Eyre. It's that important, I believe. So let's get into it. So the first thing I want to talk about is books. Typically, academic study is usually done in the written form, whether it be a book or an essay of some sort. It's usually written down. And I've read not as many books about Harry Potter as I'd like to think. I have my own more about Harry Potter than I've actually read. So I want to talk about the books that I have and haven't read. I'll give you opinions on the ones I have read, and then the other ones, you know, that's up to you. So let's get started with that. So just a disclaimer real quick. Because I don't really have them in front of me, I'm not actually going to say all the authors for these books. However, I will be sure to put links in the description so that if you are interested in looking up these books, you can find them easily. However, Harry Potter is such sort of a niche subject that you probably won't have a hard time finding these titles, but I'll put them in anyway because I'm a nice person. Okay, let's get started. So the first book I want to recommend is by an author named John Granger. So first of all, I haven't actually read... This is actually the only John Granger book I have read. That being said, John Granger is a really smart guy. In fact, I'm going to bring him up later in this episode when we talk about podcasts that talk about Harry Potter Academia. But he's known as the Hogwarts Professor. He has a blog called On the Hogwarts Professor as well. And the reason he's known by that is because he's really the guy who started, quote-unquote, started the Harry Potter academic study. A lot of people didn't take the series seriously, where John Granger, I'm pretty sure as early as book 4, was writing about the Harry Potter books and talking about literary alchemy and all kinds of subjects that really play a big role in the series. So his book that I have read is called Harry Potter's Bookshelf. And this book is great because basically what it does is it looks at the inspirations that J.K. Rowling drew from to write the Potter books. So it just talks about many titles, such as Emma, where basically it has similar characters or similar story structure, and how it's basically looking at J.K. Rowling as an author and seeing where she drew inspiration from, and all these literary hints throughout the Harry Potter books, which I think is really cool, because if you read Harry Potter, it does have a very literary quality to it of hinting back to many classic stories, and it does use that classic narrative structure. There is an issue if you're reading the book with spoilers. Like, I have not read Emma yet by Jane Austen. I actually don't even remember what the outcome was in the book, so it doesn't really matter, but there are a lot of books in there that you might not have read before, and this book is going to spoil it. I wouldn't worry about that too much, but that's just something that you should be aware of before going into it. But anyway, this book is great because it's really cool to see where a writer draws inspiration from. So the next book I want to talk about is Harry Potter for Nerds, and this is such a great book. There's actually a second book as well, which I have not read, but Harry Potter for Nerds is basically just a book of essays by various amounts of people. What am I saying? Various amounts? A bunch of different people contribute to this book. And it's fantastic. It talks about the Hogwarts houses and how they relate to the elements, such as, you know, like Avatar The Last Airbender, water, earth, fire, air. That is such a cool concept to me. And a bunch of other stuff that is just really interesting and really gets you thinking about the deeper elements of the series. So this actually just occurred to me. I'll put the link in the description. But I just remembered I've read another book by John Granger, and it is, I forget what it's called, but again, I'll put it in the description. It's about the theory of ring composition in the Harry Potter books. And what that is basically, there's a theory that the Harry Potter books are written in a ring structure, that the books are a circle. So the theory is that when many books use this structure, typically fantasy novels, and they do this because they want the reader to feel whole at the end. This is typically done in a group of odd numbers, like a 3-book series such as The Hunger Games, or a 7-book series like Harry Potter. And so, how does this book series circle around? Well, what the author has to do is place hints throughout the books that things that reflect a previous book or hint to a future book. So for example, book 1 and book 7 reflect each other, it is said, and that book 2 and 6 reflect each other, 3 and 5 reflect each other, and 4 is the center of the circle. So for example, and again, I don't have the book in front of me, but you know, with 3 and 5, both books deal heavily with Sirius Black. In book 2 and 6, there's a lot of Moaning Myrtle. We see a lot in the bathrooms again. Dobby the house elf is there a lot. And it's much more than just those examples that I've given. And so John Granger, what he does, he actually lays out ring composition, talks about what it is, why he believes J.K. Rowling would have done it, because she's extremely smart. He talks about how she has like one of the highest scores in the game Minesweeper, which is that game that used to always be on your computer when you got one and you had no idea how to play it. Or maybe you did, I'm just not very smart, but she's super good at it apparently, and that says a lot about your intelligence. So he argues that J.K. Rowling is very smart and would in fact do something like this. And finally, he makes a chart of literally every single book and how the first chapter will reflect the final chapter. He'll just move inward until he gets to the center. And then he makes another set of charts showing how the books reflect one another. And he talks about literary alchemy and all this stuff, and it's really, really interesting. And it's a theory that I support 100%. There are some times where I question it, so I guess I'll say 99.9%. But I think it's a pretty solid theory. So definitely check out that book. I will definitely link to that in the show notes. You actually can't buy it on Amazon last time I checked. You have to buy it, I think, on Lulu.com. So it's actually a pretty rare book. So the next book I want to talk about is Harry Potter for Millennials. I just read this book fairly recently, and I really enjoyed it. I think the link to the Harry Potter books to the millennial generation is so stark and so interesting, because a lot of values that millennials, or a lot of things that millennials value, seem to be a part of the Harry Potter books. And this is not like a new phenomenon. I mean, typically if there's a popular book series or a book in a time period, it can very well influence a generation. However, not quite like Harry Potter. I mean, Harry Potter is a book series unlike any other that overtook the world in a way that a book never has, except maybe the Bible or a religious text of some sort. And for us as millennials, I mean, we grew up with that. I mean, as a millennial myself, I say, you know, we grew up with Harry Potter being a huge part of us. If we didn't read the books, we saw in the movies. And it's so ingrained in us that, of course, we carry it with us. A lot of things that Harry values, millennials seem to value. A few examples are not trusting the government and trying to defend those who are smaller than us or who don't get the same treatment because they're different. Things like that that seem to resonate with Potter fans, and there's a whole book now dedicated to that. And so I'll definitely put a link to that because it's very interesting to see what millennials value in regards to the Harry Potter books. Also put a link to an article I wrote on MuggleNet about the topic, which is if you don't want to read the book, it's not as good as the book, but it basically sums up the idea of why millennials, or how millennials have been influenced by Harry Potter in a shorter manner. And finally, the last book I've read is called Finding Unauthorized Faith in Harry Potter by Nicole Rivera. So I'll also put a link in here because I did a book review of this and I interviewed the author, and she's really nice, really smart, a really good person, and she's the creative team director for MuggleNet, and she was there also when I was writing for them, so she's really awesome. I would definitely check out this book. A lot of people might be weary of checking out a book like this because it is a devotional, and I think to some regard, if you're really perturbed by that kind of thing, then okay, fine. But I actually think, unlike most Christian texts, I think that Nicole does a really good job and is really smart about how she approaches this idea of faith. Because even if you aren't a Christian or don't want to have ideas shoved down your throat, this text isn't really trying to convert you or say, well, this is the way, the truth, and the life. What it's really aiming to do is see where Christian elements exist in the Potter series and gives us little brief glimpses of it in a devotional type way. So you don't have to do it as a devotional. You can just read through it. Like I did it that way. I just read through it and I loved it. It's really straightforward. It's really, I mean, I know I say this a lot, but it's really smart about how it goes about showing us where the faith elements exist in the Potter books, which they definitely do exist. It actually frustrates me a lot when people say they don't read Harry Potter because they're a Christian. That's the biggest oxymoron I could possibly hear, because Harry Potter is literally a Christian allegory for Christ. It has a lot of faith elements to the series, and that's one of the reasons I love the series so much, because I think it's so interesting and fascinating when looking at a religion, specifically Christianity, and seeing how it plays a part in such a popular book series, and being able to afterwards apply it to other books, especially older texts, like maybe Pride, like a Jane Austen text, or just an older text. It's very interesting, and again, J.K. Rowling takes a lot of inspiration from these older texts, as exemplified by Harry Potter's Bookshelf by John Granger. So definitely check out Nicole Rivera's book, because again, you don't have to be a Christian to read it, but there's a lot of knowledge to be gained from it. So those are all the books I've read. Let me quickly name off the books that I have not read, and again, I'll link them in the description. So again, I already mentioned Harry Potter for Nerds 2. There's Ravenclaw Reader. There's The Gospel According to Harry Potter, Harry Potter and Philosophy, God and Harry Potter at Yale, The Science of Harry Potter, The Politics of Harry Potter, and Into the Pensieve. And those are all the books that I've either bought or had an interest in buying. So, I'll definitely check those out. So if you're not a big reader, which if you're a Harry Potter fan, how dare you? But if you're not a big reader, and maybe you just want to listen to a academic talk or a lecture, here's a section for you. I'm going to talk about all the podcasts that talk about Harry Potter in an academic fashion. So I feel the first one to talk about is is MuggleNet Academia. When I was in college and I was searching for an academic study of Harry Potter, this is the first podcast that came up, and it is wonderful. It's hosted by Keith Hawk of MuggleNet and John Granger, the Hogwarts professor, and this show is really awesome. The guys always bring on guests. I was actually a guest on it one time. I'll think about linking my episode, because it was the first podcast I ever did, and I was very nervous and really didn't contribute much to the episode, but that's okay. It was a foot in the door, right, into the podcasting community, because I've podcasted a lot since then. But I was a guest. My episode, we talked about not really ring composition. This is how I heard of ring composition, but it actually really wasn't a huge point of discussion. What we really discussed was narrative transformation, which is basically how a book or series takes a narrative element and transforms it throughout the text. So for example, when we look at the second book of Harry Potter, we see the trio in the bathroom, and it's almost very humorous. You have Moaning Myrtle in there saying things that are just ridiculous and hilarious, and they're making Polyjuice Potion. Hermione turns into a cat in there. I mean, it can be seen as sort of dark stuff, but for the most part, it's a pretty light-hearted environment, apart from the Chamber of Secrets being in there. But then when we get to the sixth book, which ring composition is the reflecting book, that's why ring composition has to do with this, we see that the bathroom is a much darker place. You know, we see Draco Malfoy going in there and crying because he has a mission to kill Dumbledore, and we see Harry use the spell Sectum Sempra on him, and that almost kills him. So it's a lot darker, and it's a really it's a transformation of the text, of what we knew as the bathroom in the second book. Now it's a lot darker, and many more examples like this are in that episode, so definitely check that out. But check out all the episodes, because MuggleNet Academia is awesome. So the next podcast I want to talk about is also a MuggleNet podcast, and that is Alohomora. Alohomora is still academic, but it's a little lighter on the academics side of Harry Potter. It's a global reread podcast of the Potter books. Now, this podcast is one that I have a love-hate relationship, and it's really a personal choice on my part. I have been on the podcast, actually. I was on there for Half-Blood Prince. It was the Felix Felicis chapter. I think I said that wrong. And basically, this podcast, literally every episode is on a chapter of Harry Potter, and that is so freaking cool to me. I do get frustrated sometimes because I think the hosts, like, bring up subjects that literally sometimes I'm like, but why are we talking about this? Like, I just sort of get frustrated. But for the most part, I really love this show. I enjoy it a lot. The global reread has ended, so you'll be listening to all archived episodes. And they do, like, I think they read Cursed Child, and they're reading through, like, Quidditch to the Ages and Fantastic Beasts. Me, personally, I'm not into that stuff, so I have since stopped listening to the show. But if you are into that, go for it. But speaking of the podcast as a global reread of the 7 books, it's very informative, very interesting, and all of the hosts do a really great job. I think each of them brings something different to the table, and it's really cool to hear different perspectives every week on the book. So definitely check that out. It's great. The next podcast I'm going to talk about, which is probably my favorite of all of these, is called Dear Mr. Potter by StoryWonk. So StoryWonk is one of my favorite podcasting. They're my favorite podcasting people. It's a husband and wife couple named Alistair and Lonnie, and they are just fantastic. Mostly Alistair does these seminar podcasts. Like, he's done seminars for the first 2 Outlander books. He did a seminar for Pride and Prejudice, and he's done a seminar for the first 2 Harry Potter books. He actually just finished the second one, I believe yesterday, if I'm correct. So definitely check that out, because I think what I like about StoryWonk and their approach to Harry Potter is that it comes from a place of not extreme fandom. I find that MuggleNet sometimes comes from definitely a place of, like, extreme fandom of Harry Potter. And sometimes I kind of want a perspective from somebody who maybe isn't a part of that and who is much more focused on literature and not really burdened with sort of biases on the series. And StoryWonk is a really good solution for that. StoryWonk brings up discussions about things that have never been brought on the MuggleNet podcast. And it feels like you are in a classroom setting, which I greatly enjoy. So definitely check out Dear Mr. Potter. That's my favorite of all the podcasts. So a relatively new podcast that I've been listening to, which I haven't gotten very far in because I haven't been listening that much lately, but it's called Harry Potter and the Sacred Text. And what this podcast basically does is it looks at Harry Potter as if it were a sacred text such as the Bible. Takes the text literally, so it's as if you're going to church and you're studying Harry Potter, and it's just brilliant. I love it. I love the concept of it. Again, I haven't listened much to the podcast, so I couldn't really tell you the quality of it, but I did discover it on iTunes front page. It seems like it's a very popular show. Of course, I'm not a big fan of This American Life, and that's on the front page, so I won't go as far to say that it's amazing just because it was on the front page of iTunes. But I think the concept is really creative, and what I love about it is that it really puts a different spin on religion, like how we view religious texts and kind of deconstructs that idea. I really like it. So definitely check that out. On a more funnier note, there's You're a Wizard, Harry, and it is hosted by three really funny people, Michael, Sarah, and Bajaya. So funny and actually very insightful to the Potter books in a way that's very different from the podcasts I've mentioned previously, in that they joke around a lot and they are part of the Harry Potter fandom, but they more represent the casual fan. So they're not really looking for the deeper concepts in the Potter books. They are looking at the books as just casual readers and pointing out things like in the books that maybe you wouldn't have picked up on before. And it's a very light podcast, but it still has a quality to it that I feel is a little, a sort of academic, because it is looking at the books chapter by chapter and pointing out new things that we learn. Like, they always point out when we're introduced to a character or a spell or a certain idea in the Potter books. And they also play fun games. They have this thing called the Quidditch Cup, where it's Harry Potter trivia, and it's just a fun and light way of looking at Harry Potter. And the final podcast I want to talk about is from a network called SQPN. So this network, I'm pretty sure, is based in Holland. I'm not positive on that, but it is hosted by, ironically, a priest, and this probably, apart from MuggleNet, this was also one of the first podcasts I ever listened to about Harry Potter, and it does sort of look mostly at like the religious themes of the books. But I don't want to, if you're listening, you're like, oh, hosted by a priest, it must be a bore. No, it's definitely not, and it's not shoving religion down your throat by any means. Rather, it's just another perspective on the books, but it is not shoving religion down your throat. It is a very interesting podcast. My only critique of it is that the people who host it, while extremely smart and they have so much to offer, like, I can't stress that enough, sometimes I find that they make some easy mistakes when it comes to the books, and that's one thing I can't stand, is when I'm reading something about Harry Potter or I'm listening and they make a mistake about something that is just so, if they just looked at the text, they could figure it out, and just drives me up the wall. So for that reason, like, I have since sort of stayed away from that show, but I don't want to discourage you from actually checking it out, because I think, again, they have a lot to offer. Again, it is mostly based on like the religious themes in the books, but that's something very important to study when it comes to literature, so I would definitely give it a shot. And finally, here's a few other things that you can check out of Harry Potter Academia. One is, of course, the website I already mentioned, Hogwarts Professor. And also, iTunes U, while it doesn't, I don't believe, has any courses on Harry Potter, there is a class from La Trobe University called Children's Literature, and it talks about children's literature, but it also brings Harry Potter up a bit. And what I like about it is that it studies the history of children's literature, the themes that are typically present, how people view children's literature, and that, believe it or not, kids, has a lot to do with Harry Potter. So, or I should say, Harry Potter has a lot to do with, you know, they just balance each other out. What am I saying? So, definitely check that out, because that is a great lecture series, or lecture. I enjoyed it quite a bit when I listened to it. Actually, listened to it, how long ago was it? It's probably been 3 years. Yeah, it's been 3 years since I listened to it, which isn't that long, but it feels like a long time. It's actually probably been more than, probably a little, almost 4 years ago, so definitely check that out. Once again, links will be in the description. Thanks for listening, and if you want to know more about me or check out the work I do, please visit my website, www.keepcalmreadonblog.com. Thanks for listening, everybody. I'll talk to you later. Oh.